on the Lord, but it feels like it's taking forever for your prayers to be answered? What if we share with you how to patiently wait in expectation? Hello, and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson, and you can find out more about my books by visiting my website at ts-thompson.com.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Discover more about my coaching services at yourchristiancoach.net. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we talk about waiting on the Lord in relation to your deeper Christian living.
Yeah, and this topic, woo, this is one I think most listeners have gone through or are experiencing right now. You're waiting for an answer, waiting to see God move in your life, and waiting for his promises to come to pass. I think it's one of the hardest things for me. I'm sure for others that are listening in, it's difficult to wait on the Lord. We are not patient people, right? Especially in the United States. We're ruined. I mean, these days, it's our culture. I mean, these days, everything is instant, right? We got Amazon Prime. We've got, everything is available at your fingertips on the internet. You don't have to go to the library to get stuff. You can just, it's on your phone. It follows you where you go. Everything is instant. We move so fast. And the sad thing is that we expect God to move fast as well. I don't think God has changed his pace since we have. God is steady, right? We are a hurrying bunch of people, right? And I think because of this, because of the way that we live today, we get confused waiting. We really do. We wonder if God, during this waiting period, we wonder if he's forgotten. Has he forgotten what he promised us? Maybe he's changed his mind. Or maybe we're supposed to jump in and act, right? Have you ever felt that way before? But the word instructs us to wait on him. You can find this in Psalms 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, this is saying to be of good courage, meaning to have a good attitude while you wait. And God shall strengthen your heart. So he's going to strengthen you during this time. He knows it's not easy for us. But the word wait actually means to stay in rest, in expectation, in patience. So you are resting with the expectation, but you're supposed to be doing it patiently. But Jo Heather and I, we both know it's hard, right? We know it's hard to rest in the waiting. We've actually done an episode on rest, and we encourage you to go back and listen to it if you missed that one. But this is exactly what we're going to be talking about with you today. So I'm going to pass over and hear what Jo Heather's got to say.
Yeah, I agree with you, Tammy. It's so hard to be in a state of spiritual rest while you wait on the Lord. And as you described it so well, we typically wait with anxiety instead of rest, don't we? I mean, we wonder, did God hear my prayer? Doesn't he know what I'm going through? Why isn't he answering? The questions in our head can go on. And these questions never help you move into a state of rest. They only serve to increase your anxiety. So as I wait on the Lord's answers to be revealed in my life, I try to remind myself that time is relative. The word says in 2 Peter 3:8 that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And it's funny, we think about the world today. Well, Einstein's work confirmed this. The rate at which time passes depends on your frame of reference. So if I shift my frame of reference, and remember that time passes differently in the spirit realm, in heaven, it helps me. And I look at the scriptures that confirm this belief. Take Daniel chapter 10, for instance. Here, Daniel had been praying. He had set his mind to gain understanding. He humbled himself before the Lord. And from that day that he started praying, it took 3 weeks for the angel to get to him. 3 weeks, 21 days. Why? Because there was spiritual warfare going on that hindered the angel from arriving to speak to Daniel. 21 days, that feels like a long time. The angel had been detained and wasn't able to get to Daniel. So I can take, but he finally did, didn't he? He got there. He gave Daniel the word. So I can take this account and apply it to my life. If time is passing and I feel like I'm waiting on God and no response is coming, you know, I can remember there may be spiritual warfare going on that's keeping my answer from being revealed. Or there's a possibility that the Lord is prompting another person to take action, which will ultimately be the answer to my prayer. But that person, male or female, whoever it is, just hasn't responded to the Lord's prompting yet. So that's what we're here to do for you today in this podcast. We want to talk about what it's like to wait on the Lord. How do you stay in a spiritual state of rest while you wait? What resources has the Lord provided to help you? I mean, there is so much to discover, so I'm really excited about digging into this topic.
Amen. I am too. And just as you were bringing up that story, Dan, one thing you have to remember about that story is that God answered him when he first prayed. Even though it took time to get your answer to be on the receiving end, right? It's like on a football field. God throws the ball, but you got to run down and catch it, right? That time, there's distance, there's time to receiving the prayer. It doesn't mean that God didn't answer your prayer. Never, ever think that God didn't answer your prayer, no matter how long it takes to receive it, right? So, yes, but I'm excited, Joe Heather, to dig into. But before we go any further, I just want to take a moment first to let you know how you can find us. So depending upon what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do, we do stress this, is to share this podcast with anybody that you know. You can send them a link. You can share an email with them. You can share one of our YouTube videos. There's many ways that you can do it, And it will uplift. There are people who are actually looking for a word of encouragement out there. They may not be verbally saying so, but if the Lord directs you, I encourage you to follow through with that. And on our website at loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access every Wednesday to both video and audio. And if you want to save time and not miss any episodes, we'll email it to you. Go to our website. We got a form. Sign up on it, and we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday. So, back to the topic that we're talking about today, waiting on the Lord. So when you're waiting on God for his promise, you know, or maybe it's a prayer, you're waiting for an answer to your prayer, and you have to wait periods of time, doubt will try and come against you almost always. I don't think there's a period of time where you're not going to have to deal with doubt. Especially the longer you wait, I think the more likely that it is. So, you know, have you ever been waiting? You know, I ask you, have you been waiting? And it seems like it's taking much longer than needed or expected in our busy, busy life, right? Or perhaps you have a vision from God, and yet it seems like instead of moving towards that answer, you're backsliding away from what you thought and how you thought. It's funny because this is how my mind works, how I think God's going to answer my prayer. I kind of, you know, pray. I can see a clear path, and I'm not going that direction. Because God does things his way, right? So, you know, I bet, you know, if you've gone through this, there's some level of confusion, right? And you might feel like you need to jump in and do something, you know, to make it happen, you know, or maybe you start to doubt maybe what God meant when he told you your purpose. Did I hear him right? Did he really mean that? You know, or maybe that God's forgotten your prayer. Maybe he got to, you know, maybe, you know, there's an earthquake going on here. There's this and that. Maybe God's too busy to answer my prayer. But that's not true, right? Because, you know, with the story of Daniel, he answered the prayer right away. But that's not waiting on the Lord. You know, when I feel like I got to jump in, that's me frustrated over it not happening according to my schedule or my method. So waiting on the Lord does not change his original promise, right? But the enemy, he's so clever, he would like you to think so, right? And this is the temptation that comes in the waiting period. He'll say things like, where's your promise? Has he forgotten about you? Has he changed his mind? Surely he would have done it by now, right? He'll say all these things to you that will make you doubt. Maybe you need to do something, Tammy. Maybe you need to make it happen. I think you could do this. You could come quicker if you did that, right? And he's going to tempt you with doubt. And doubt, like, you know, we've talked about in other podcasts, doubt can hinder things that you're waiting on. You know, Isaiah 30, verse 18 says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. So the word says those who wait for him are blessed. There's blessings that come in waiting. So what else does the word say about waiting? Because we always want to go to the word to back up other scriptures, right? So Psalms 130, verses 5 through 6. And I'll read it to you. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. And how beautiful is that? Right? We have hope in his word. You know, you wait eagerly, you know, not with anxiety, eagerly, more than those waiting for the light to bring the morning. And I'll give you another one here that's beautiful. Psalm 62:5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. We wait expecting God to answer, whether it is a prayer or a fulfillment of purpose.
Amen. You know, you were mentioning doubt, and, you know, doubt is a tool of the enemy for sure to me. And the Word of God helps us combat those attacks. And so my thoughts go to the scripture in James 1. You know, this chapter in the Bible is focused on trials and tribulations, and it gives great advice on how to handle these challenges. You really should check it out. So in verse 5, James writes, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So this verse always reminds me that when I need wisdom about what to do or which way to go in a situation, I'm just to ask God about it. And this word also confirms for me that God gives answers generously to me, not grudgingly, like, why is she asking me that? That's not God. He gives generously to me. So I can read this verse when I'm in a season of waiting on his answer, and it confirms for me that my answer is coming. Tammy did a great job just laying out what it means to wait, you know, that season of expectation. The answer is coming. I'm to expect it. But you may be sitting there and saying, how am I supposed to take my petition to the Lord? Maybe that doesn't sound easy to you. So look at James 1:6, and it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. And verse 7 goes on to say that the person who doubts should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So doubt is a real hindrance keeping you from hearing from the Lord and receiving from him. So when I think about that, the next question that comes up for me is, how do you combat doubt? Because Tammy said it well a moment ago, doubt just happens to us. And I don't want you to think you can be superhuman and never have doubts. I mean, doubts just arise. And as she said, especially in a season of waiting. So Tammy's already pointed you in the right direction, which is to meditate and spend time reading God's word. You know, Romans 10:17 reminds you that your faith comes from hearing the good news about Christ. And you can hear that good news for yourself by reading his word. It might be by listening to messages of confirmation that come through our podcast or through your church services or other online preaching. You know, a season of waiting is a perfect time to teach yourself to keep your eyes on Jesus, and do that by digging into the word. And so with that, I'd like to pause for a moment and share our sponsor spotlight. Love and Encouragement to Live By is sponsored today by our very own Tammy, otherwise known as T.S. Thompson. She's released her new book called My God in Whom I Trust, a study of Psalm 91. She's also the author of the Christian book series, The Land of Good Dreams, and God is Able, a study of 2 Corinthians 9:8. Tammy has a deep desire to move readers with her books and share the light of God to uplift and inspire. She's blessed with the gift of storytelling and believes the world is in need of good, family-friendly books everyone can enjoy. You can find out more about Tammy and her books at ts-thompson.com. That's ts-thompson.com. If you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, or if you want to feature your favorite ministry effort, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. www.thebusinessmamas.com.
Thank you, Jo Heather. Yeah, it's a great episode today. So let's dive in and take a little bit closer look. I want to take a look at Abraham, who had to wait. I was thinking about people in the Bible. There are a lot of people had, in the Bible had to wait for things, right? But Abraham had to wait on the Lord for a long time. And he was older when he had to wait, so he probably didn't feel like he had much time left to wait, you know? So, you know, it's true. When you're younger, it seems like you have all the time in the world. But he had to wait for what was promised to him to come to pass. And so what did God promise Abraham? Let's take a look at that. So, well, for one, he promised him many things. But when you read the story of Abraham, you know, because he promised him to be a great, out of you can be a great nation, he promised him a lot of things. But when you read the story of Abraham, the thing that really mattered to Abraham was the promise of a son. To have his own heir. That was, of all the promises, that was what meant the most to Abraham. And he waited on the Lord for 25 years to finally see that promise fulfilled. So let's dive in and look at the story. I'm going to be jumping around, but I'm going to let you know where in the Bible you can find these accounts. So God first spoke to Abraham, then called Abram, starting in Genesis chapter 12. So he told him to leave his country, his people, his father's household, and go to the land that he will show him. "Will show you," as quoted from verse 1, means that Abraham did not know where God was sending him. He had no clue, right? But he went in faith. So God also told him in verse 2, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Now, this is the first word of promise that Abraham had from God. Now, it doesn't say, you know, what Abraham thought God meant by this, you know, because when he left, he was 75 years old, right? And he may have wondered how God was going to deliver him on his word. You know, God's given him a word of encouragement, and he may have had many other thoughts other than becoming a father after the age of 75. That's probably one of the least things on his mind, right, was how that's going to happen. But we also know, because there's another important key here, is that his wife Sarah, then known as Sarai, was barren and had no children, as recorded in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. So his wife is barren, he's 75 years old, and he's listening to a promise from God to go out and follow him. Excuse me. So in verse 7 of chapter 12, Abraham got to the land of Canaan, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So if Abraham had not considered this fact before, he did now, right? God revealed another piece, you know, to him that Abraham's offering would be given to this land, right? So that would mean he would what? He would have to have children. Right? His offspring would be his children. So there was hope. Hope's building up. God's giving him another piece of puzzle, right? And revealing it to him. So sometimes, and this is important, because sometimes God will not show you everything at once. And I think he hardly ever does, right? But instead, he will give you pieces at a time, like manna breadcrumbs, to follow him in faith, right? So time passed, and a lot of things happen. We're not going to get into all that stuff today. But we get to a place where, again, the Lord spoke to Abraham. And this is found in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. And I'll go ahead and read them to you. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had departed from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." Now, this is really powerful. So God gave him a huge promise and showed him how to visualize. We got to visualize stuff, right? So not only did he say, look in every direction that you see, and I will give this to you and your offspring, right? But he told him to go walk through it. Why? So that Abraham can envision it more as he walked through. Then I imagine he's thinking, yeah, maybe we'll keep our cattle over here. You know, here's a nice stream of water where I'm going to take them down. Maybe I can see me playing with my children over here, and we'll be able to swing on this tree. He can envision it. He can make it real in his heart so he can hold on to it more, right? This is powerful. It's a huge, huge promise. Because God's going to show you things, right, before they're yours. This is one thing you can pick up from this passage. So he's going to show you things before they are yours. I repeated that for a reason. He said to Abraham, "I will give to you," meaning this was not his yet, right? It was only promised, right? Abraham still needed to believe God for it. He could have looked around. My gosh, look how big this land is. There is just no, this is too big. This, I'm 75 years old. This is no way this is going to happen, right? You know, and, or he could have, you know, offspring. What offspring? Don't you know my wife can't have kids? What offspring are you talking about, right? Or he could have, said, she can't even have kids. She's past that age. She's too old. We're too old, God. You know, or he could have packed up with doubt and gone back to his family. Or he could have done what a lot of us probably do today is said, I'll settle. I'll settle for something I can see happen. I'll just purchase this small little land over here that I know I can pay for myself, right? We do that sometimes. You got to give us something we think is too big, and so we'll settle for something else. You know, maybe he wants you to have, a farm, and you're like, I can't afford a farm. I'm just going to buy this small little 1-acre lot, because I can pay for that. That mortgage is too big for me over there. No, we make that same mistake, right? But he didn't. He believed God, right? So I'm just saying, maybe you're right there in your situation. God's giving you things to believe him for. I'll give you some examples. Maybe God said to you and showed you that you're going to be a manager, of a business someday. But right now you're working on an entry-level position, and you just don't know how. There's like so many different steps to get there. You just don't know how God's going to work that out. You just don't see it happening. And every day you show up for work struggling to still believe God for what he promised you, right? Or maybe someday you're going to, he said you're going to have a house of your own with a fenced-in yard and a safe neighborhood for your kids to play out back. But right now you can't even barely keep up with the bills in your one-bedroom apartment. You just don't see how any of that's going to come to pass. I mean, the bills keep coming in, but you believe God, right? The foundation thing is, do you believe God despite your circumstances, right? Because he's not limited by our circumstances. He's not. God can move heaven and earth for his children that love him. He really can. So this is what we're talking about today. This is what waiting on the Lord. We wait in faith, right? We wait in faith. Now, God knew with Abraham that it was taking a long time. Back to the story of Abraham. Is promised to deliver it. And Abraham had to walk in faith with the Lord. But God gave him some visuals, right, to help him to avoid doubt. Doubt's a critical thing that can hinder what we're waiting on God for. So what were those things? The dust of the earth for numerous descendants. So, maybe he's experiencing doubt and he's got to shake off his shoes and he's like, my descendants will be greater than the dirt I just shook off of my sandals, right? He painted a picture that was bigger than what he was thinking at this point. Because why did God show him that? Because Abraham probably wasn't thinking big enough at the time, right? So he showed him the land. He told him to walk through it. So I suggest doing this with what God's promised you. Create a visual board, things that you can see and remind yourself every day so you don't lose hope, right? If it's a house, find a picture in a magazine or on the internet, print it out, stick it on the wall. That's my house someday. It may not look exactly like that, but it gives you something to hope for, right? And you can also stand that when doubt comes, you go, no, this is my promise from God, right? So how did Abraham deal with doubt? Because, we find out that it did happen to them, right? Him and his wife. So we can see it in Genesis chapter 15. Now, reading this account, I could just feel Abraham's sadness, weeping off the pages. Because I have felt sadness myself waiting on the Lord. Like, why aren't you coming through for me, right? So he tells us that the Lord, what you can give me, he says to the Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and have no one to inherit from me except my servants? And when he's saying that, it's like he's saying, what good is all this, God? This wealth, all the stuff you've given me, what good is it at my age if I have no one, not my own child, to leave it to? That's why I'm saying that the child was the most important thing to Abraham. So God reaffirmed. He reaffirmed and made it clear to him that his servants were not to be his heirs, but a son was coming from his own body. Now, what's interesting is he didn't say his wife's body at the time. He just let him know this one piece, that it was coming from his body. It would be Abraham's heir. So in verse 5, so he took him outside. Again, God's like, going to take you and show you things, right? He took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall be your offering. So he has the dirt to look at. He has the stars to look at. God's saying, just keep your faith, Abraham. And then the next verse, it says in verse 6, that Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. When you believe God, it's credited to you as righteousness. So again, God was painting a visual and confirming his promise. He does this to help us not doubt. God doesn't want you to doubt. He wants to give you every tool that you need to believe him along the way. And you may have felt the same sadness when waiting on the Lord. Because time, due to time constraints, I can't go through all the accounts of Abraham's testing of his faith, and there was a lot. I can only focus on just a few situations. So I encourage our listeners that are waiting on the Lord for his promise to go ahead and read all those accounts. So we're going to jump ahead here. So we know that at some point his wife began to doubt. And this account is recorded in Genesis chapter 16, where she and her husband, she basically told her husband to go and conceive a child with her maidservant Hagar. I don't know where she got that idea from. And there's a ton here I'm not going to cover today, but this should be a word of caution, right? To not, Jennifer's laughing. To not take action into your own hands when waiting on God. The whole reason Ishmael was born was because of Abraham and Sarah's unbelief, right? Abraham said it was going to come through me, but I don't know about my wife. He didn't say that part. it's not good. It's not good. So they were waiting on God for a long time, right? And as it records that Abraham is now 86 years old at the time of Ishmael's birth, right? They let doubt come in and affect their choices, right? They stopped waiting and they tried to make it happen on their own. Now, if you read these accounts, I encourage you to do so. This event did nothing to improve anything, caused all sorts of problems. It affected their marriage. It affected all kinds of relationships. It was stressful. It did not, we're still seeing the accounts from this thing today, the way that the world is divided up. So when we are tempted to do something when waiting, but that's what waiting's all about, right? Is you have to wait. Waiting teaches us patience in the Lord. We don't like that, but patience is a good thing. It really is. So there is good news about Abraham's story, despite him getting off course on the road of unbelief. So at age 99, the Lord appeared to him and said that next year his wife will have a son. The account takes place in chapter 17. So let's look at verse 17 in there. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at age 90? Now he laughed in unbelief. His words were of questioning of the Lord. You know, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Or my wife who's 90? You know, then in verse 18, Abram said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." And this is really sad. I have to say this in a way. Now, we know that he loved Ishmael. You know, it was his son. He did love him. But it almost sounds like God, like Abraham was saying to God, just do it through him, right? Just do it through my Ishmael, my son from Hagar, the servant. You know, maybe, why would he say this? Well, maybe he was waiting too long. Maybe he felt like, I'm too old to be a dad at this point. You know, people get weary in the waiting. They really do. I mean, have you ever felt that way? Do you get weary waiting on God? But how did God respond, right? Let's read it in Genesis chapter 17, verses 19 through 20. Then God said, "Yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son." So now he knows it's going to come through her too. "And you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael," see, God didn't forget, "I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I'll make him into a great nation." So God heard Abraham's plea to bless Ishmael. But God was still going to do, fulfill things, what he promised, his way. This is important. Not Abraham's way. Abraham wanted God's promise to be done his way. God says no. I mean, do you ever give ideas to God? I know I do. You know, maybe if you gave me more, maybe you gave me some more clients, God, or I sold some more books, or, you know, maybe if I got some people to come help with some stuff, I could get this job done faster. If God doesn't need my advice, he's going to do things the way he wants to do it to give him the glory. You got to remember, when God does something in your life, it's for his glory, right? He doesn't need our advice. God loves us. He doesn't need our advice. He just needs us to have faith in him. So I know I went long. I felt it was important to go through his, at least one, you know, one character, to see what his journey of faith and doubt, because doubt comes in, right? But I want to pass it back to Jo Heather, because I know that she has some things that she wants to share with you today.
Absolutely. Gosh, thank you so much for taking us through, you know, the account of Abraham and Sarah. And you had so many great insights, Tammy. And I want to reiterate, you know, a nugget of truth that I heard you say. You know, sometimes God won't show you everything at once. Instead, he gives you pieces at a time, like manna breadcrumbs, giving you a chance to follow him in faith. And so I wanted to give our listeners another moment to hear that again and take it in as comfort during their time of waiting. You know, open your eyes and see those manna breadcrumbs. If you look for them, you will see them. You just have to remind yourself, let me look and see what reminders is God saying, hey, you know, I'm with you in the waiting. So in addition to looking at God's word to encourage us as we wait, you know, let's look at what we think and what we say during our waiting as well. You know, we've touched on the area of doubt and how it impacts our hearing and receiving from God. Well, your own words are a part of the waiting process, because your words can either dispel your doubts or strengthen your doubts. So I want you to look at Matthew 12. In this chapter, Jesus is speaking to the thoughts of the Pharisees. But what he says here, I can take to heart for myself. Starting in verse 34, Christ tells us that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So this tells me that my words reflect the belief of my heart. And Jesus says that a good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him. And he says that it's by your words that you'll be acquitted or condemned. 1 Peter 3:10, Peter writes that whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. And there's a lot in scriptures about the power of the spoken word. It's through the spoken word that God spoke everything into existence in the first place. And if I believe that I'm made in his image, then it goes to reason that my spoken word has power too. Your words give insight into your internal faith beliefs. And if you speak idle words that contradict what you are believing God for, these idle words cultivate doubt in your heart. And some of you may be hearing this and finding this hard to believe, but I want to challenge you to an experiment, just to think about it for a minute. I bet you've already seen this manifest in your life in some way. Here's an example. Do you speak words of encouragement to your kids or your grandkids about their ability to do their schoolwork or to play a sport? Really, I want you to think about it. Why do you say these positive things? Do you think your words will make a difference? I bet you do. That's why you say them. I bet you know your words will help them strive to overcome their doubts and fears during homework or during practice when they can't seem to get the shot just right. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit of it. So it makes sense to apply your belief about what God is capable of in your life. So if you say, I'm dying here and no one cares, then what does your heart and mind begin to believe? That no one cares. Because you spoke it from what was in your heart, your ears heard it, so you naturally start to believe that no one cares. But is that really true? No. God cares, and he's right there with you in the midst of the trial or tribulation. I also love to try and picture the prayer that's written in Psalm 141:3. It says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. God knows that I live in a fallen world. And though I am righteous as he is righteous, read about that in 2 Corinthians 5:21, my mind and heart must be guarded. And who helps guard my thoughts and word? God does. He knows the importance of what I think and say, and that's why he encourages me to renew my mind daily, and I do that through prayer and reading his word. So I look back at Proverbs, and I see in 15:4 that it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Oh, how I want to be a tree of life, because a tree has deep roots, and those deep roots bring up water and nutrients from the depth of the soil. Keeps the tree alive even in times of drought, even in times of waiting on the Lord. And maybe for you, it feels like that time of drought right now. If it does, find ways to nurture yourself. Maybe it will help you to guard your words if you start each day with Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, there are lots of words of encouragement there that you can hold on to. And definitely start your day on the right foot. And if you find you're getting off on the wrong foot, you can just start over. You don't have to say the whole day's shot. No, you can just say, you can repent and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that my attitude's wrong. Let me just start my day and start praising God. Start praising God for all the things you can think of. And then restart your day. It's definitely worth it. So we hope that what we've shared with you today encourages you, right, during your waiting period. You know, Psalms 119, verse 105 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I just love this. I think about this all the time. The word gives us clear direction, right? That's what that's saying. It gives us clear directions, and that we can move forward. It can call us to move forward to act, you know, or it can also call us to wait, right? Especially if you can't see. You can't see the next step. The best thing is just, especially if the Lord's told you to wait, is to wait. Now, I'm going to give you something before closing here, is that one of my prayers I say that I have to remind myself to wait for direction is, you know, especially if I don't know what to do, then I need to wait and remember that, and I have to wait to move until I have that clear direction from the Lord. And this is my prayer, and you can claim it for yours too, is, and I'll say it real quickly, is I lift up my situation to you, Lord, searching for direction. I will wait upon you, Lord. Teach me to be patient while I wait and trust in you during the waiting. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As Tammy said, we hope you've been encouraged today as we've shared with you about how to wait patiently for the Lord in your life. You know, and Tammy mentioned a really great idea earlier that you may want to consider, which is to create a vision board to help you in your season of waiting. And with that in mind, I'm going to give you your challenge question of the week, something to meditate on. What visual or scripture will nurture you as you're in your season of waiting? To think about that. I want to thank you all for taking time to join us today. Just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. And if you want to be a sponsor of one of those episodes, please contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.